Hello, small group leaders and hosts. I hope that you guys had a great kickoff small group time. We really enjoyed ours. We had a potluck, a lot of food, a lot of laughter, and then we split for prayer. And it was wonderful. It was really nice. We have one new person in our small group, and just the way that everyone cared for them and made them feel welcomed was just a really nice thing for me to witness, that it wasn't just me, the small group leader, trying to do that, but because the vision was caught, everybody joined in. And, you know, my heart is warmed by it. I love that. So I want to talk to you guys for a second before we jump into the intersect. We heard you and the desire for more training. And I love that because my big thing is raising up leaders, equipping and deploying. So I will equip you as much as possible. So this season, what I would like you guys to think is that you have a small group toolbox. And every week I'm going to give you a small tool to put in there. And then eventually those tools can build you just a great small group season, but not just for this season, but for seasons to come. And utilizing those tools in conjunction with the other tools that you already have is really just going to help make you have so much wisdom in your small group leading. So the tool that I would like to give you guys, it's a small conversation to a much bigger conversation, but conflict. Boo, boo, boo. If I had a sound machine, I would play that in the background, because who doesn't want to talk about conflict? I have to tell you that I love conflict, and I'm going to give you guys just a crazy, super short story as to why I like conflict. Because I was raised in a family where there was a lot of conflict, but we never talked about it. And so it was literally the conflict would happen, and then either hours or days later, we just ignored it. Like nothing ever happened. And so if it was a really bad conflict, that person bought the other person a gift. And then that's just how we processed it. And so growing up into adult life, when bad things would happen and I would have conflict with someone, I would feel really bad in my heart towards that person. But I just assumed that what we did is we just ignored it and moved on, because that's what good, responsible people do. And it wasn't until later, too much later in life than I want to admit, where someone came and said, "Hey, when you said that thing, that really bothered me." And I said, "Oh my gosh. Okay, let's talk about it." And we talked about it. And then I thought, you know, the friendship was over. It was great because it made our friendship better, because we had this conversation of understanding one another and where one another was coming from to be able to then continue to strengthen the friendship. And so over the years, I've seen that happen in my life and other people's lives, being able to not run from conflict, but run to resolution of a conflict. That we're not afraid when difficult things happen, because the Bible gave us a guide in what to do. And that's in Matthew 18, where it says, if you have problem with your brother or sister, you go and talk to them. And so that's what I want to do for us today, that the bigger part of the discussion is the hows and the whys, but really, truly, the very, very first step that we have to do is we have to go directly to that person. And so you might say, well, it's very little conflict, or it's a very little thing that bothered me. But what starts to happen is we plant these seeds in our hearts, and eventually those seeds join together and it roots bitterness and frustration. And we're not even aware of it because we think it was so small, but over time, it just grows into something even bigger. So with that, I'm not saying, okay, they took the last piece of pie, you're going to be mad at them, I got to talk to them, you took the last piece of pie. You know, Corinthians, it really talks about keeping the records of wrong and all these different things, giving allowance for other people's faults. So all of that, but really, you know, the conflict I'm talking about, the conflict that pings your soul deeply, the conflict where someone said something that was just, wow, that was too much for you to hear. That's the type of conflict that we're talking about here. And the reason why I want to run to address that is because it has no place in small group. Sitting there in unresolved conflict is going to be like the giant elephant in the room. And you might think that you can work your way around it, but it's there. And so what a freeing ability to be able to go to that person and say, hey, I need to talk to you. And then being able to address it from there. And that's really where I want to push home then, is that you're going and talking to that person first. You're not talking to 17 other people. We don't talk about people. We talk to people. If you want to talk about people, then there's a whole other story for that. But really, in conflict, we're going directly to that person first. You know, we pray about it. You talk to Jesus about it. But then we go to that person. We don't go to a lot of other people. And so there are situations where, yes, you're going to need wisdom. And please ask for wisdom. But ask one person for wisdom. Don't ask for wisdom until you get what you think you want to hear. And being really careful in who you're choosing to seek wisdom from. And knowing in your heart that it's the desire to seek wisdom. It's not the desire to pretend gossip, right? Just being aware of all of those things. And so really, my heart's desire is that we don't run from hard conversations, that we don't run away, because the enemy uses those and builds on those. And the things that come from years and years and years of not having hard conversations, ultimately, at some point, the conversation is so much harder. So my gift to you guys, there you go, a 6-minute training in conflict. You go straight to that person, and that you model that for the people in your small groups. You model that behavior, and then they start seeing it, and then they do it, and then you have less conflict. All right, next, we're going to jump into the intersect. I know we said we were going to launch the app live this week, but we were not able to. Just a few more technicalities and things, but we're working on it. It is coming very, very soon. But I will tell you, I got to use the app this weekend to check in my kids, to take notes, to do all of these things. And it was so cool. It was so awesome. And so I'm actually going to go over the intersect right now off of the app, the Crosspoint Church app. Just so exciting. I know we're goofy when it comes to things like that, but I love it. So in that, just going through the first question, the reason we don't ever discard that question, it's what resonates with people is usually where they're at. And then question number two, I just want to explain a little bit, because it says answer the 5 questions from the note sheet. So that's talking about Steve's notes in the note sheet. So they would have to listen to the sermon to be able to get the fill in the blanks for that question to be able to answer it. So as a small group leader, it might be beneficial that you text them ahead of time these 5 questions, or you put it in the email, hey guys, these are the questions we're talking about in question 2, helping you identify and recognize idols in your life. It's where do my thoughts effortlessly keep going? What do I talk and post about? How do I spend my money? How do I respond to unanswered prayers and frustrated hopes? And what about my uncontrollable emotions? So going through those 5 questions, that's really, you go through that, and then that's going to be like an idol identifier. But if they don't go to the message, they're going to like, what? I don't understand. So just really being sure that we address that. And then jumping into passages, and oh, they're so good. And so for this right now, you really can choose your own adventure and really dive deep a little bit into some of the passages, or you can stick with just going through all 3. What I really recommend though is if you go through them ahead of time and you pray about it and you feel like there's something in there that really resonates with you, that you can send ahead of time to your group. Hey guys, I was reading in Matthew when it talks about this. And so this is what it meant to me. This is the scripture passage we're definitely going to go over. Make sure you read it. So that way, for those that struggle with doing their intersect question, if they know like, okay, these are 2 questions we're going to go over, it's going to be really helpful. And then the last question I love so much, because it says, as you're doing all of these things, you're going to repent, reject, renounce. What are you going to replace them with? And how are you going to start putting it into practice? Hold people accountable. So when someone says, my idol is my kids, you know, ooh, that's a big one. When someone says my idol is sex or whatever it is, we don't just say like, okay, what are you gonna place with? Oh, prayer. Okay, that's great. No. This question is here because this is where heart change starts. We talked about later in Romans about it starts by changing from the inside. This is where we're going to change in the inside, where we're going to really be thoughtful and intentional about replacing and then people holding us accountable in that. I would write them down. And then maybe if your group's on Wednesday, maybe Friday or Saturday, you text your small group people, hey, you know, individually, of course, hey, so-and-so, you said that you were going to replace your idol of control with really putting into practice being able to be spontaneous. What's one thing spontaneous you did this week? No, nothing. Okay, well, how are you going to be spontaneous? How can I help you? Really being practical on those types of things that we always follow up. If we just every week say we're going to change and we write it down and then we never put any of it into practice, we don't want to waste time. Life is short. Wouldn't it be so much better to live the most of your life in this beautiful, thriving relationship with the Lord? Yeah, I think so too. I heard you say yes, and I agree with you. With that being said, guys, I love you. I am so thankful for you. We have a lot of people jumping into groups. We have a lot of new people coming and just saying, whoa, that was a very exciting thing. I was not expecting that. So because of that, I am so grateful for you guys and so thankful. Have a wonderful, wonderful second week back into small group. And if you need anything, as always, contact your coaches, contact myself or Kristen. We are here for you. We are praying for you. And we love you. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.